The big question, has the economy hit the sweet spot when it comes to prices?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Word today from the government that consumer prices rose slightly in August, 0.3%. That's a slightly bigger increase than expected. Core prices, which exclude food and energy costs, remained pretty much flat. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large over at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is on Fridays. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So with the economy in tatters, Jill, the Fed's been pumping all this money into the economy. And I'm thinking, you know, isn't that like one of the first signs that inflation's going to take hold? And it hasn't done it, right?
No, it has not. And the reason is that a credit crisis, which we've just experienced, is really by its very nature deflationary, meaning that consumers spend any available money basically paying down debt, increasing their savings. They're not going to the stores. They're not buying stuff. And they're not driving up prices. That keeps prices low.
What does it say then, Jill, about the economy overall if we're in this sort of sweet spot? What does it mean?
Well, it does mean that the Federal Reserve can keep interest rates low for the foreseeable future. That's good for borrowers. It's good for people who owe money. It's good for companies, I think, because eventually they are going to be able to raise prices. They'll make more money and hopefully have better earnings. And for consumers, I think it is actually good news. We get to pay lower prices, at least in the short term. So all in all, no inflation is good, and the lack of deflation also good.
Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large over at CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Thank you.
We're going to get the results of weeks of shareholder voting today over at United and Continental Airlines. Shareholders are deciding whether to merge the two into the world's biggest airline. Let's do the numbers. Major stock markets in Asia and Europe up somewhere under 1% in most cases. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ and S&P were flat. The Dow added 22 points, 0.2% to close at 10,594. If you're an expectant mother in this country, the Family and Medical Leave Act gives 12 weeks of unpaid leave. But in Europe, pregnant women get 14 weeks, and they get part of their salary. Now there are plans to give them even more, and it's got European business hot under the collar, as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
The European Parliament wants to give new mothers 20 weeks off work after giving birth and on full pay. But new research shows it'll cost European countries an extra $160 billion over the next 20 years to make it work. Business organisations claim the new proposal goes too far and is unaffordable. Kieran O'Keefe's from the British Chambers of Commerce and says it'll cost British businesses an extra $4 billion a year, a burden they could really do without.
In the current climate, when businesses are still struggling right across Europe and also in the UK, when public finances are under severe pressure, it just seems like terrible, terrible timing.
But supporters insist it should be passed, regardless of the current economic climate. Belinda Phipps is the chief executive of the National Childbirth Trust.
Those babies form the population of the future, so we shouldn't be letting a temporary financial crisis drive our policy on supporting new mothers.
More than 4 months on full pay may be a bit hard for European governments to swallow, but they are open to offering women more leave than they currently have. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
These days, you can buy almost everything on the web, books, clothes, shoes. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports you can also buy art, like the really, really expensive stuff.
When it comes to art, Chip Tom is old-fashioned.
I like to see something. I want to see what the texture of the painting is, how the paint was actually applied.
But these days, he's feeling a little out of step. Tom is a partner and art curator at Heather James Fine Art. The gallery sells big names like Monet and Picasso.
Amazingly, we do between 30 and 40% of our business on the internet. We don't meet them. We don't even necessarily speak to them on the phone. It's all through emails.
People are spending upwards of tens of thousands of dollars on stuff that they've never actually seen or touched.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars per piece on things they've never seen or touched.
Tom says that confidence is a product of the internet age. Several websites now allow consumers to research works of art, much like investors research stocks. Brian McConville is with ArtNet.
We have a database that allows collectors or dealers to go in and find auction records that are illustrated that once upon a time was just not available to collectors.
He says ArtNet's 4 million auction records allow access to information that hadn't been widely available.
Before this database, it was just dealer to dealer, and collectors were really, really in the dark.
As the art world grows more accessible online, it's attracting new collectors.
Open the art market to all users.
Josette May is with the website Art Price, based in France. She says when people are educated through sites like hers, it helps the whole industry.
It is profitable for the galleries and the art dealers as well, because it will increase confidence from the buyers and naturally increase the market volume.
ArtNet's services include an online auction platform, so collectors can bypass more expensive brick-and-mortar auction houses. That is, assuming they don't need to see and touch the painting before they buy. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
Airlines are merging helter-skelter. Northwest got bought out by Delta, America West, and U.S. Air. TWA is no longer there. Today, it just might be decided, will Continental fly United? Soon, there'll be just one airline around, and they'll charge you a fee if you want to sit down. Extend the tax cuts? Yes, but which? Everybody? Just the rich? Tea partiers say cut them all, but they might cut the GOP this fall. Healthcare opponents are showing endurance. You can't make me buy insurance. Honk if you're into Basel III, and I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online, as Bill mentioned, marketplace.org. You can download the podcast there as well. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.